nearly 500,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe so far this year. By far, most of them are from Syria. One of the big questions in this crisis is why this is happening now, after more than 4 years of civil war. NPR's Alice Fordham reports on a country that has lost hope.
To understand what Syria's become, let's take just one city, its largest, Aleppo, famous for centuries for merchants selling carpets, fabrics, and jewelry. 5 years ago, it had grand old buildings, leafy squares, and a vast market beneath an ancient walled citadel. That market has been a battlefield for 3 years now. The city is divided between rebels, like the ones who uploaded this footage, and forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad. This man lives in a regime-held area.
Today we are living in Aleppo and we are in the safe area, and we received more than 100 shells in these safe areas.
He wouldn't give his name because he fears the regime.
This is the security situation in general, but the other conditions of life are not very easy. For example, we are living without water.
After years of armed groups cutting off their enemies' water supplies, there's hardly any piped water in the city. Electricity comes on for maybe an hour, a few times a week.
That's why I think that any person or any human being who is living in this harsh condition, of course, he will think about fleeing out of the city.
He says apartment blocks stand half empty now. Many with the money to leave have moved on, along with young men who fear conscription. Everyone, he says, lost hope.
Who left the countries will not return back again to his country again, because no one has hope. And I think that after losing hope, it is very difficult to rebuild hope to return back to Syria.
And that's the government side of Aleppo. On the eastern side, which is held by rebel forces, things are a lot worse.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
The Syrian Air Force strikes residential neighbourhoods, levelling whole blocks. Here recorded in another amateur video. When NPR reached journalist Mohammed Al-Khatib by Skype there one day last week, he said 45 people had been killed that day in bombings and shelling. And that's pretty normal. Mostly it's the poorest who remain, he says, unable to join the hundreds of thousands who have fled. And in the rural areas around Aleppo, it's also divided into pockets of Al-Qaeda control, a few US-backed groups and others. Further east, ISIS territory begins. And that's the story of Syria. Across the country, Assad's air force is responsible for the vast majority of civilian killings, according to rights groups. While on the ground, neither regime nor rebels nor extremists have the upper hand. The state has crumbled. Some places are besieged by rebels, some by the regime. A British Syrian doctor named Rula Halam tells NPR her family, originally from the city of Homs, has been displaced 5 times.
Syrians don't want to leave Syria. Syrians want to stay at home. But when you leave people no choice but to either be one of the 250,000 who are killed, or the million who are maimed, or the 12 million who are homeless, or the 500,000 who are being starved under these sieges, then all you get left with is a choice of getting into a rubber dinghy and maybe making it to a European shore.
What many Syrians say is also driving the exodus is a feeling there's no end in sight. Assad is supported by Iran and by Russia, which last week stationed warplanes there. Rebels receive funding too, and ISIS generates its own revenue. Everyone can keep fighting. Some think the US could be doing more to end the war. Here's former US ambassador to Syria, Ryan Crocker.
The Russians have a strategy, and that is to do whatever it takes to back up Bashar al-Assad. We don't have a strategy.
Crocker calls for the US to create a no-fly zone and prevent Assad's airstrikes against civilians. But most analysts think with Assad's air force now bolstered by Russia, that's less likely to happen than ever. The war and the exodus seem set to continue. Alice Fordham, NPR News.